He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we've got a pretty good day. The gain in the Dow is disappearing quickly, but the NASDAQ is holding on to a triple-digit gain so far, but everything seems to be fading a little bit from that initial pop. Right now, the Dow's up just 15 points, 27,796. The NASDAQ, however, holding on to about a 100-point gain right now. It's at 11,270. The S&P 500 is up 11 points to 3,373. We've got the small cap index, Russell 2000, up pretty good, 0.8%, up 13 points there. So you've got a little risk on. Usually I measure the risk on mood of the market by looking at the NASDAQ and the small caps. Crude oil's got some risk off going on there today, down $1.36 per barrel. Demand continues to collapse for crude. Crude's at $38.86. Gold is having a pretty perky little day here. You know, I said about a week ago, I said this sell-off in gold is a buying opportunity. Well, I've been right so far. Those gold stocks have been bouncing. Gold is up $13 per ounce today to $19.08. Silver's up 18 cents to $23.67 after a pretty good day yesterday. And I'm starting to see some selling off in the bond market. A little move to the downside, the bond market here, the last couple of days. You got the 10-year right now at 0.71%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, it's stimulus talk. You know what? The market can't get enough stimulus. Yesterday, the market traded all day on the stimulus talks going back and forth between Steve Mnuchin and Nancy Pelosi. The two sides are coming together a little bit more. So there is stimulus hope yesterday. Now, when the stimulus hope disappeared from the market yesterday, the market followed right with it down, lost all of its gains pretty much. Well, then it perked up again towards the end of the day. So that seems to be the major catalyst right now that the market is following. The stimulus hopes, and I suppose also who they think's going to win the election. I'll be glad when it's all over, really, you know, in November. Here's my question of the day, thought-provoking question of the day. We're in baseball playoff season, and I was just wondering if the Minnesota Twins played the San Diego Padres in a playoff game, who would win? Both these teams have horrible records. The Twins have lost 18 or 19 playoff games in a row. At least they've been to the playoffs. You know, we're in the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. The Twins have been ousted. The Padres lose their first game. The answer to the question, I think, if the Twins played the Padres in a playoff game, here's what would happen. They'd play for 13 innings. There would be no score. The Padres would give up and go home, and the Twins would win two innings later. That's how that would go down. So anyway, our Padres 0-1, one more, and we go home, and the Twins go home. Okay, back to the market. Yesterday, the market was up 329 points. That was the Dow. The NASDAQ was up 82 points yesterday, so we had a decent day to end the quarter. This is the first day of the fourth quarter of 2020, and this is expected to be a much, much better quarter than the last two quarters. We're expected to be down about 12% in earnings versus this time last year. And by the first quarter of next year, we're expected to start growing earnings once again. Yesterday, one of the hottest sectors in the entire market, what do the following stocks have in common? SEDG, which is SEDG. Let me look up, what's the name of SEDG? I know all of these symbols. SEDG is, I want to say it's SEDG. Yeah, SolarEdge. SolarEdge Technology out of Israel, okay. Enphase, red hot, breaking out yesterday. Enphase is another one. Then we had the VSLR. We had NOVA. VWDRY, which is a major wind stock, wind energy stock out of Europe. And then a couple of ETFs, TAN, T-A-N, and ICLN, which is the Clean Energy Index. What do they all have in common? Clean energy, renewable energy. That has been a red-hot sector now for the last couple of weeks. Now, you can't really draw any sure conclusions from that, but it's telling me that there's a big section of the market that thinks there will be a Democratic administration when we begin next year. Obviously, they are much more favorable to the clean energy than the Republicans. So I'm just saying, look, that's one indicator out there. And someone else spotting that out also, which I'll get to in a bit. In fact, someone is calling out a lot of these solar energy stocks as a good buy, and they're making their own predictions about what might happen in the election. So for what it's worth, those stocks red hot. Now, the other sector of the market that was red hot yesterday were the Chinese stocks. Oh, my gosh, did you see the move in Alibaba yesterday? Now, we own Alibaba, so we had a very good day. Although we gave up some gains towards the end of the day. JD.com had a great day. Boyd, oh my goodness. The EV car maker out of China had a tremendous day yesterday. We recently wrote up Boyd. We're one of the few analysts out there that actually covers Boyd. The Chinese stocks had a very good day yesterday. And I just asked the open question, what is that telling us? Who would be more favorable for China stocks, President Trump or Vice President Biden? I think the market is saying, thinking that Biden favored at this point by the bettors. There was a big swing in the public betting markets. You know, look, there's nothing else. You can bet against the Twins. You can bet against the Padres and you can also bet on the presidential elections. You can bet on the debates. You can bet on just about everything these days. But the betting markets had a big swing after the day after the debate, which was yesterday. And it swung in Biden's direction quite a bit. The Chinese stocks had a tremendous day. So I'm just giving you observations. I'm an observer of the market. I go into all the little nooks and crannies of the market. I see where the bait is gathering. I see where the fish are feeding. I see the water temperature, the currents, weather clarity, the wind conditions, the temperature, etc. And that's what I report back to you on the stock market here every single day. Whipsawed yesterday on the stimulus talks. The market also wobbled a little bit yesterday when Moderna's CEO told the Financial Times it would not seek approval of its vaccine before the election. Of course, Pfizer is saying something different. Pfizer thinks by the end of this month they may have something to submit to the FDA. And in the meantime, AstraZeneca is moving quickly ahead, quick review taking place in Europe, but that one person that got seriously ill from the clinical trial, that is still being investigated. Well, September was a bit of a slump in the market, but the quarter was okay given the circumstances in the world these days. How about Japan? What happened to the Japanese market? Now, I was not trading in the Nikkei yesterday when it shut down. But it was shut down for an entire day. What would the traders do here in America? What would the Robin Hood crowd do with themselves? You know, they'd have to hang out at Chipotle or Starbucks or wherever with the trading markets down. Holy cow. Or they'd have to bet on the presidential elections, the debates, whatever. But Japan was completely dark yesterday, their market, for the entire day. Could have that happen to us. Well, China's going to be closed for the next week. It's golden holidays in China. This is Bill Gunderson. A lot of stocks to talk about today. We'll be right back. Here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, you know, it's looking to me like the Dow is going to remain kind of range-bound until we get through this next 5 weeks or so. Who knows, maybe it'll be 10 weeks, maybe it'll be 12 weeks, I'm not quite sure. We'll see how the balloting goes, but the Dow seems to want to just stay. 28,000 is a ceiling right now on the Dow. Every time that Dow hits 28,000, ouch, it bumps its head and comes right back down. And 27,000 right now looks like a floor on the Dow. I see it kind of remaining in that narrow trading range, and I see the traders kind of buying in at 27,000, selling at 28,000, and on and on and on. For the next several weeks. We'll see. I mean, that's what technical analysis is telling me right now. The NASDAQ and the S&P also look pretty similar. I think they're going to trade in a pretty narrow range here. Now, the quarter three just ended. It was a wild thing. It definitely was. Here's a little heat check on the consumer sector, which obviously has been one that's dominated the news cycle here, the travel and leisure and the consumer sector. Here's what worked during the third quarter of 2020. Overstock, OSTK. They must have sold some of that stock that they had built up. I don't know if they're still overstocked, but the stock was up 932%. 932% during the quarter. Okay, not during the last 12 years or 27 years. During the quarter. Nautilus. Did you buy a weight machine, a treadmill, any kind of machine to set up your home gym? Nautilus was up 881% during the quarter. That's NLS. Workhorse. No, that's not sporting equipment for a gym. That's an electric truck. Electric Avenue up 730% during the quarter. WKHS. One that I nailed right between the eyeballs, Fiverr. Fiverr was up 491%, FVRR. That's the company that you can hire people that offer services, usually technical services, building a website, helping you with your app, set up an online store, whatever. Fiverr, FVRR, up 491% during the quarter. Blink Charging. If you blinked your eyes, you would have missed a 454% move in Blink, which is setting up charging stations for electric vehicles, EV. And, of course, the EV stocks, NIO was up 428% during the quarter, NIO. Tesla was up 413%. you mean to tell me that the intrinsic value of this automaker grew fourfold in the last 90 days? Well, the market traded it that way. Up 413% during the quarter. Did you get on your Peloton bike this morning? Are you sweating here too? Or maybe you listen to a, maybe you listen to my show while you're on your Peloton. That stock was up 249% during the quarter. And Wayfair, along those same lines, online retail, up 222%. What's not working? Revlon down 70% during the quarter. Chico's, which is the White House slash black market, and Chico's down 74% during the quarter. Nordstrom's, get this, Nordstrom's down 71% during the quarter. Ouch. Norwegian crew. I wonder if they still have the piano player at the bottom of the escalator at Nordstrom's, or if he's been laid off too, or he's wearing a mask. I don't know. Something to think about. Norwegian Cruise Lines down 71% during the quarter. He didn't get a job playing on the cruise ships, that's for sure. Carnival down 70%. Will Kohl's survive? Kohl's, KSS, down 64%. During the quarter. Wow, what a quarter it was. Get ready for this quarter, right? Make sure you get plenty of exercise and vitamins and you eat well. And the cola's up 17%. I did cover my short a couple days ago, made a little money there. Now there's talk that GM is going to take a bigger stake in the company. Why? Because the stock has sold off dramatically. Now GM could take a stake of 11% in the stock due to the share price. In the meantime, we haven't heard from Trevor Milton lately. He's got all kinds of problems. So at least there is a positive vibe coming back into the electric truck maker. Well, I currently clear my trades through Ameritrade, but we'll soon be clearing through Schwab. Schwab, that should happen, looks like October the 6th. There will be no more Ameritrade. It will be called Schwab. And the integration of TD Ameritrade into Schwab is expected to take 18 to 36 months. So if you've already got an account at Schwab, that'll make doing business with Gunderson Capital a whole heck of a lot easier here in coming days and coming weeks. The first Rolling Review, no, not the Rolling Thunder Review. That was Bob Dylan and what was that violin player? I met her. That was kind of interesting. I wanted to ask her what he was like touring with, but I met her at the Hard Rock Cafe in Los Angeles, the lady that played the violin on Hurricane. Remember that song, The Hurricane? Anyways, they're going to have a rolling review. Scarlett Rivera was her name. Rolling review of the COVID-19 vaccine data on AstraZeneca. That means that they're speeding things up over in Europe, trying to get that thing approved. In the meantime, over here in America, the FDA widens its inquiry into the safety of AstraZeneca because one person got very, very ill during the clinical trial. See, that's the risk you take if you involve yourself in a clinical trial, if you volunteer to shoot the stuff in your veins. You know what? That's why they pay you a little bit. That's the risk you take. Let's see. Oh, yesterday Disney announced 26,000 layoffs. Today, American Airlines plans to furlough 19,000 workers. That's 45,000 people in 2 days between Disney and American Airlines as COVID-19 continues to ravage the globe. Things really getting hot in Europe, and Israel right now is on a complete shutdown for the next several weeks, maybe even up to a month. Things not good around the world with COVID. All right, some individual stocks when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson, Best Stocks Now, Radio Hour. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now radio. Well, the market holding on to its gains. NASDAQ up 111, 111. Those are your lottery numbers for the day. The Dow up 137. It's closing in on 28,000 again. Short it right when it gets to 28,000. Well, that's been the pattern here recently. Why, speaking of lottery numbers, one of the main reasons that online gaming is soaring right now, we're talking DraftKings, Scientific Games, Penn, etc., because Macau gaming revenue down 90% in September. Can't get to the casinos anymore. You've got to be on your iPhone. Not going to get the buffet on your iPhone and all the other things that come along with the casinos. But plenty of gambling going, taking place these days, just not in Macau or Vegas. IPO craze continues. I thought Palantir fell pretty flat yesterday. I think the IPO market peaked when Snowflake was up 112% or whatever it was on the day it went public. Today there's an avocado IPO. You don't want to miss that. I hope it doesn't turn into guacamole. Is it a Green New Deal? Mission Produce prices downsized IPO, $12 per share. Okay, here's my solar story. J.P. Morgan is weighing in. I've certainly noticed it. If you follow me on StockTwits or Twitter, I have 57,000 followers on StockTwits. And I've been tweeting quite a bit recently about the breakouts taking place in the solar stocks. See, they come to my attention because they show up on my A-plus momentum grade list in my app and brings my attention to the hottest stocks in the market. And the solar stocks, I would say, that's the number one group sector in the market. And J.P. Morgan is weighing in on their reasoning as to why this is happening. Number one, we had a big debt issuance by one of the solar companies here recently, Vivint. And they only had to pay 2.2%, a very low coupon, to borrow money. Now, there was a time when there wasn't as much faith and confidence in the solar stocks. They had to pay a lot more to borrow money. So that is a sign that it's justifying higher valuations on the companies, higher ratings on the bonds, because they're starting to turn pretty profitable. You know, I own one that's very, very profitable, and there's others that are very, very profitable, which I'll talk about here in a minute. The demand for solar has increased quite significantly. The demand improvement is broad, the firm says, reaching across geographies in the U.S. and internationally, and that should benefit all companies along the value chain. And the event of, here's what J.P. Morgan says, the event of a Democratic sweep in the U.S. elections might be a near-term catalyst. Distributed solar stocks could benefit from a Biden campaign plan to add about 8 million rooftop systems, as well as investing in energy storage. But they go on to say renewable deployment has also grown under President Trump. So a Biden loss would not necessarily be a negative to the solar stocks. Well, don't forget, too, that J.P. Morgan just a couple of weeks ago put out a headline, prepare yourself for a Trump win. J.P. Morgan is raising targets. Okay, now here's some individual names. I don't particularly like the companies that sell, that install it on your roof and service it. Of course, Tesla's in that business. They combined, they bought out their solar company. And if you go to the Tesla website, you can also order solar panels for your roof, along with your Model X. But I don't like Sunrun or Sun Power. These are the people that are out, you know, knocking on doors, calling, trying to get you to sign up for solar. Instead, I kind of like the technology companies underneath it, the inverter companies that convert this energy that is gathered from the sun into usable energy. Now, there's two there that I've invested in the past, and I wish I wouldn't have sold them, but I still like them. I do own one solar stock right now in the emerging growth portfolio. The two that J.P. Morgan mentions here, Enphase, E-N-P-H. Let's check in on Enphase today. It has been a red-hot stock, and it's breaking out to a new high again today. And it is profitable. And they are growing their earnings. They're expected to grow their earnings by 25% this year, 49% next year. Enphase was a dollar stock in 2018, $1 per share. Now it's $86 per share, one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. J.P. Morgan gives it a $92 target price. Well, it's currently at 87, so not a lot of room there. The other one is SolarEdge, Sedge. I've owned this one in the past, and it is scorching right now. They make $4.32 per share. That's what they're expected to make this year. J.P. Morgan is, that's S-E-D-G. J.P. Morgan is upping their target price to $2.52. The stock's at $2.41. Okay, I own one in a completely different, I own one that is expected to make $16 per share next year. Take that, Sedge. Take that, Enphase. That one is in my emerging growth portfolio. It has a forward P.E. ratio right now of 9 times. You can get my newsletter, if you've never gotten it in the past, to see which solar stock I own in my emerging growth portfolio. I offer out 2 free weeks of the full Monty newsletter. Then it downgrades to the premier newsletter. And then it downgrades to the free one, which got a lot of info in it. But if you want to see which stock I own in this sector, try 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. So there's my little blurb there on the solar stocks. There's a little bit of change in some of the indexes today, and no big deal. They're kicking out Sally. Sally Beauty Supply is being kicked out of the Mid-Cap 400. And they're going to add SailPoint Technologies, one that's on my radar, S-A-I-L, Sail. I wish I was sailing today. That would be nice. I saw a sailboat go down the river here by my house just about 45 minutes ago. I'm sitting at my desk doing a radio show now, but I love what I do. Walmart is a top idea for Q4 at Bank of America. You know, my problem is Walmart is a 5% grower at best, 5%. And you've got other companies that are growing by 25 to 30%. And if stocks follow earnings, which has been my observation during the 23 years I've been managing money, I want companies that are growing their earnings at a superior rate, not at 5% per year. Same could be said for Pepsi, which reported earnings yesterday. You know, look, if you look at a chart of Pepsi, it's about as flat as a Diet Coke. You open it on Monday, and it's still sitting there on Wednesday. That's about what the stock looks like, just sideways, nowhere. ConAgra beats earnings. You know, there's another slow growth, you know, chart that just nowhere. Been growing by 5% a year. Constellation Brands, which used to be a good grower, that's Corona beer and all these wines and whatnot in your neighbor's trash can after a wild weekend. STZ has been a flat stock for a long time here also. They beat earnings by 25 cents. I got to believe all these people staying home has been good for Constellation Brands. And lastly, before we go to break and come back for our featured stock of the day, Bed Bath & Beyond looks like they're going to survive. BBBY beats earnings. That has turned into a rocket ship of a stock. BBBY, Bed Bath & Beyond, beats earnings by 79 cents, beats on revenue for people staying home, making sure their home is spiffy. It's helping BBBY. When we come back, wait till you hear the new target price on Amazon.com and then our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, I don't know if you saw the story. The playoffs will move to Texas and California. San Diego is one of the big hubs for the baseball playoffs, and the new stadium in Dallas, Arlington area for the Texas Rangers will be the other hub, and the baseball in Texas, they're going to allow about 11,000 fans at the games. I look at these giant stadiums and I say, you mean you can't space people out in a giant stadium? Well, I guess Texas is going to do it. California, on the other hand, no, not one person is allowed to attend. It's just, you know, it's the tale of two states, California and Texas, who definitely take different approaches to how they do things. It's all I can say is the flow of people seems to be definitely out of California and in the Texas direction. Anyways, all right, featured stock of the day. Before that, listen to this, Pivotal. Pivotal is a research firm. They say investors have the wrong take on Amazon's sum of the parts valuation. Pivotal lifts the e-commerce giant's price target from $3,925 to $4,500. That's the biggest target price I've ever seen yet. Now, of course, I do five-year target prices on stocks. It's been kind of uncanny to go back and look 5 years ago at where some of these stocks that I featured and wrote about in Seeking Alpha and how they've achieved those target prices and then some. My target price for Amazon 5 years from now is $6,300. 5 years from now, $6,300. I'm going to make Amazon my featured stock of the day. You know, it's not always. Everybody wants to find that uncovered gem, you know, that nobody knows about, that little nugget of gold hiding in all that rock, when sometimes the biggest nugget is right on top of all the rock. And that's the way I look at Amazon. You know, it's kind of like they're crushing everybody. You almost have to own the stock. They're such a dominant player. I see Amazon trucks all over town making deliveries, stopping traffic, guys getting out, running a package up to the door. I see packages on doorsteps of houses in my neighborhood. It's a scary company. It's a dominant company. Their price target being revised higher. Well, you know, I look at the PEG ratio right now. I can remember back in the year 2000, you had PEG ratios between 5 and 10. Companies trading between 5 to 10 times their growth rates with their forward PE ratios. Amazon's PEG ratio is 2.36. It's not cheap, but it's not like crazy either. If it continues to grow, the analysts say it will continue to grow by 30% per year. How many bricks and mortar companies will it continue to gobble up along that path. Will there be a Kohl's store 5 years from now? I don't know. Will there be a Nordstrom's? Will there be a Bed Bath and Beyond? Look at the bricks and mortar graveyard that Amazon has left in its wake. Well, like I say, I have a $6,300 target price. It doesn't pay a dividend. It's a pure growth stock. Their market cap these days, where's that sitting? $1.6 billion. I mean, trillion. I'm saying that it will be a $3 trillion company 5 years from now. Who can stop it? Over the last 5 years, their earnings have been 97% per year. That's the average. And you want to own Pepsi or Walmart? Now, Walmart is doing their best to stop this gigantic, enormous beast. But Walmart is growing by 5% per year. Amazon's been growing by 97% per year. Which one do you want to own? Furthermore, going forward, Amazon's expected to continue to grow by 30% per year. Walmart's forward growth rate, projected by the analyst over the next 5 years, is 5.6. Walmart's pay ratio is 4.5. Amazon's is 2.3. It's trading half the pay ratio that Walmart is trading at. Well, no wonder we own it in our premier growth portfolio. If you're looking to find the very best large cap growth stocks in the world today, pretty hard not to own Amazon in as one of your 10. Let's say you had a portfolio of 10. The best large cap growth stocks in the world today, you'd have to say Amazon's probably number one in that category. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if it's a ginormous company like Amazon or one you barely heard of that went public 2 days ago, which we recently wrote up. Did you check our Seeking Alpha article yesterday? We're being quoted today in Seeking Alpha's news feed as there's news on the stock today. And they say, Bill Gunderson, author, thinks that this stock can reach this. So, you know, we apply the same rigorous and very strict guidelines that we have, growth and valuation and momentum, to whatever we own, whether it's a dividend paying stock or a ginormous large cap or a brand new IPO out of the gate. If you'd like to put us to work for you, GundersonCapital.com. Get our newsletter. See how we've done. Check us out. Or you can arrange an appointment with one of our advisors at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Well, it's the start of a new quarter. What will the new quarter bring? It's anybody's guess at this point. But we remain pretty much fully invested right now with a little bit more cash than we normally have because of the upcoming elections and a couple of hedges in place. Just to add a little bit of caution right now in this volatile political environment. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.